Well, good evening. Thank you for the prayer. I appreciate it. All right, so if this works today, hopefully it works tonight. I don't know what to do if it doesn't. So, all right. About 2 years ago, it was Christmas Eve. I first did this lesson back in my class in the back. And since it's kind of Christmas time here, I thought we'd take a look at gifts. So Christmas, I associate with gifts, giving gifts, getting gifts. So we're going to look at what has God given us. So this is to you from God. We're going to look at 12 wonderful gifts that we've received. Now, the list goes on and on and on, more than just 12, but I'm narrowing it down to just 12. So the very first gift I want to take a look at, all right, the gift of love. As it says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Now, there's a reason why I'm listing love first. And it might be the very reason why it's listed first in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to go back a few verses. If you're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he who doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. Now, say the verse doesn't say that God is loving or God shows love. God is love. It's his very nature is to love. Meaning love is not just an attribute of God. Love is something that God has to be. He cannot be anything other than love. So in everything that God does, it is through love. Just as everything he does is just and right, even in judgment, when he's passing judgment, it's through love, because it's his nature. So he uses his love, and love is the motivation behind all the rest of the 11 gifts that I'm giving up. That's why I have it listed first. So this is his motivation for everything that he's ever done. It's by his love. One thing about God's love is nothing can stop God's love. It is all powerful. And as Romans 8, 38 through 39 summarizes here, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So anything that there ever is can fit in one of these categories. And nothing can stop God's love. So anything in life, even in death, can't stop it. So nothing down here. In the angels cannot stop it, nor angels, so nothing in heaven. Now I bet you can think of at least one angel that would like to stop it. That would be Satan, or the devil. He was a fallen angel. But there's nothing he can even do that can stop God's love. Nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing happening now, and don't worry about the future. There's nothing going to happen in the future that can stop God's love, nor heights, nor depths. There's no place you can go where God's love will not follow you, where you can escape it. It's going to be with you.
Amen.
Thank you. So it's ever-present throughout time. There's no place where you can go. God's love will not follow. And one more thing about God's love I want to look at is that God's love is perfect. It says God is perfect. He has a perfect love. So God loves those who love him. It's Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me. Those who seek me will diligently find me. But God also has love for those who do not love him. That is Matthew 5:46-48 says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? If you only greet your friends, what do you do more than others? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? Therefore, you shall be perfect, meaning in love, just as your heavenly Father is perfect, or your Father in heaven is perfect. And this is a quality of God's love that we cannot take for granted, right? So loving everyone, even our enemies, is an attribute of God or a God's love that isn't shared among other people and other religions. So if we look at the first century here, they're worshiping, you know, the Greek gods. And a couple weeks ago, I accidentally watched The Wrath of the Titans. And I say accidentally because I thought it was Clash of the Titans. And I like Clash of the Titans, but you can skip Wrath of the Titans. It's terrible. But in the movie, it's the Greek god of war teaming up with the Greek god of the underworld to wipe out the human race, something like that. And that's not too far off in the mythology there. But these are what the apostles were teaching an all-loving God to people in the Greek culture that were worshiping these kind of gods. It's a complete contrast. And even in Islam today, the Quran in chapter 3, verse 32, and also in chapter 30, verse 45, it says, he, or Allah, does not love the unbelievers. So even in Islam, they don't apply this attribute of a perfect love to God, and not being able to love everyone. But the Bible is crystal clear that God's love is perfect, and therefore, because God's love is perfect, we also must love those who do not love us and show love to our enemies as well. And it's through the gift of God's love that we can do that. So that's the first gift, gift of love. Second gift, be grace. So it says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that none would boast. So grace, and we put mercy with that, as they go hand in hand, you know, grace and mercy. It can be summed up like this. So mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve, and grace is God giving us that which we don't deserve. All right? So what do we deserve? Well, the Bible says, you know, the wages of sin is death. And then in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. We're deserving of death. So that's what we do deserve, and we're not going to get it because mercy. But grace comes in to give us something that we don't deserve. So we can't earn it. We're unworthy of receiving it. Then verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That is in Christ Jesus. So it's through Christ Jesus we've been given grace and therefore been justified. Jesus paid our debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, right? So we owe a debt to God, but Jesus took that, nailed it to the cross, giving us grace and giving us mercy. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can have grace and mercy. This is John 1, 16 through 17. From his fullness we all receive grace upon grace. So not even just a little bit of grace. It is grace upon grace, much grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Christ Jesus. Back to Ephesians, nothing you can do, no matter how righteous you can be, we can't earn heaven. It's grace that allows us that we can get that. Only through Jesus. So the third gift I want to look at is peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. I think we've heard that verse like two other times today. So you should be familiar with it by now. So Jesus is our source of peace. So let's look what he told his disciples. He told the disciples, not let their hearts be fearful. Now these guys are going to experience major, major hardships that, pray to God, we are not going to go through. And I'm pretty sure we're not, because ultimately they were put to death for their belief in Christ. So they had a lot to be fearful from the world. And I can't imagine that they were never physically terrified. But their peace they had wasn't a physical peace. You know, it says in John 16:33, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have oppression, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. So this isn't peace from the world. In the world, we're going to have oppression. You know, we're going to be persecuted. But the Bible says, blessed are those when men shall revile you and persecute you falsely for God's sake. And to be happy when that happens. Because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Our peace is a spiritual peace in Jesus. To know that no matter what we go through in the world, no matter what, our soul is safe. Nothing can touch that. Nothing can stop that. Everything is fine with our soul. It's a peace that we have. It's God's peace. It's inside all of us. In Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So it's this peace that's in Jesus Christ that we can face whatever happens to us. And this is the peace that allowed the disciples to be able to sing praises while sitting in a jail cell. It's the peace that while suffering a violent and horrible death like Stephen, he was able to say, don't hold this sin against them as he is being killed. Because he knows it's the peace that he has. And this is the peace that Jesus gives to us and lives inside of us. The fourth gift is the gift of hope. So God has given us hope. And hope is defined as to cherish a desire with anticipation. We have a goal. We have something we are striving for, something promised to hope for, and that is eternal life with God in heaven at the very end. That's what we're looking forward to. So in Titus chapter 1, verse 2 through 3, it says, in hope of eternal life with God, who can't lie, promised before time began, but in his own time revealed his word in the message, which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So this hope that we have, hope in heaven, was promised before even creation began. Because God is all-knowing. He knows what's going to happen. Back before time began, he knows out of his love, he's going to create people. And people are going to screw up royally. They're going to commit sin, bring sin into the world, and separate ourselves from God. That's it. But God has a plan of hope. That one day he will have to come and fix the problem by sending his son down, die on a cross, forgiveness of sins, and give us that hope in heaven. The hope to hope for heaven. So without his sacrifice, there is no atonement for sins, and all have sinned, all will be lost. But with Jesus, we actually have hope now. And this is a gift to God that we can look forward to that. And it's something that we give thanks for. Almost every time we pray, I hear, thank you for the hope that we have in heaven, or something similar to that.
Amen.
Hope comes through the resurrection of Jesus. It's 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy became our Father again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So once again, no Jesus, no hope. But now that we have Jesus, we can have hope. So gift number 5 is the gift of purpose. So 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given to us in Christ Jesus before times eternal. It says God has called us with a holy calling. So he's given us purpose. I mean, he's given us a mission. So while we hope for heaven, we have stuff to do down here on earth. We have a job to do. So Jesus told us in the Gospels to take up our cross and follow him. Through this, we have a mission to share these gifts, all the gifts that we have, and glorify God and share God's love, tell of his peace, let others feel his peace, share his grace, give an explanation for our hope that we have to others, and in that, we glorify God for doing that. You know, the Great Commission, go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. This is what we are called to do. So God has given us a purpose, and we have been called to his purpose, so not our purpose. As it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for that we would walk in them. So we're God's workmanship. We're his creation to carry out his purpose. As the song says, Christ has no hands but our hands. And we are the only Bible the careless world will read. And that is correct. We have to show the world God. No, sorry. Let's see. With reference to a holy life, the design we have been created for is this, that we should lead a holy life. As the message in 1 Peter 1:6 says, be holy because God is holy. So be holy, that is to set yourself apart from the world, align yourself to God's will, because God wants us to do that, and it's his purpose for us. It's our mission. So God has given us a task to do. It's to take his gospel out to the world and glorify him. It's the gift of purpose. All right, the next gift I want to look at, the gift of prayer. And prayer is a very special gift that we have. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the boldness in which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he listens to us. You know, God's always there. We're never alone. He's always with us, and he's a God who's going to listen. You know, God is our Heavenly Father. We are his children, and a good father wants to hear from his children. As children, we should want to talk to our Father. And prayer is what allows God's children to go directly to him, with Jesus being our mediator between. We don't have to go through any man to talk to God. We can go right to God. Prayer is not only a gift in and of itself, It's also an avenue that God can use to bless us and grant us more gifts. Even just talking to God is a gift in itself, but it opens up a lot more. Now, there's a caveat. So he hears us, but we must ask according to his will. Even as Jesus prayed here on earth, not my will, but yours be done. So if we ask anything according to his will, he'll listen to us. And continuing on in 1 John 5, verse 15. And if we know that he listens to us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. But what happens if you don't know what to pray for? It's a gift. But what happens if you don't know? Well, God has that covered too. He's given us another gift, the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit is there to intercede for you and ask of things that we don't even understand that, or we wouldn't even know that we need. Romans 8, 26 or 27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So he's the one that's going to help us out when we don't know what to pray for, because I don't know what to pray for all the time either. Sometimes when I pray, it's just, blessed be God, and just praises. I don't make a request. But the Spirit knows what I need, and he's going to go and intercede for that, because he knows the will of God much better than I ever will. So the gift of prayer is one of those that can be taken for granted very easily. You know, God wants to hear from us and hear from us often. That's why the verse says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Keep praying. Keep talking to God. Because I've found many times, days or weeks can go by before I realize, hey, I haven't talked to my Heavenly Father in a while. I'm sure I'm not the only one that does that. So the gift of prayer, it's a very special one. So now, since time is short and we don't want to get caught in the snow as we're driving home, we're going to rapid fire 7 through 11. So we're halfway done and we want to speed this up a little bit. So number 7, endurance. And what I mean endurance is in times of temptation, because we're all going to be temptation. There's no around that. And Jesus himself was tempted here on earth. The verse I have listed is James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, for when you fall in various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Even in temptation, it's going to grow our faith. To turn to God's word to help us find a way out. Because God promised that no matter what temptation we face, we can endure it, because he will not give us more than what we can handle. And he's also going to provide a way out. It's up to us, though, to look for that way out. Because it's there. We just have to find it. Jesus gave us an example of one way to do that, and that was just go directly to God's word in Scripture. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness 3 times, and 3 times he went right to Scripture and said, no, it is written. It is written. It is written. And he beat his temptations. We have endurance. We also have forgiveness. This is Matthew 26, 28, and that is Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. He said, my blood is poured out for the remission of sins. Without Jesus, we do not have forgiveness of our sins. Now this goes along with hope and with grace and with mercy. We also have forgiveness. And that's a big one. No matter what sin we have, now the consequences of sin are real down here on earth. Just because you commit murder doesn't mean you won't face consequences from it. But God can forgive that. He can forgive any sin. We also have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It's our body is, in summary, our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. We've been given God's Spirit so we can produce the fruits of the Spirit. And then in Acts 2, 38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. We also have the gift of new life. Now, this kind of goes along with purpose. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you go, you enter in that watery grave of baptism. You go down as an old creation. You come up to walk in newness of life. This is your do-over button. No matter what you were before, forgiveness comes in. It's washed away. You are now a new creation, a new Christian, ready to walk in newness of life. Your life starts anew. And then, number 11, your unique talents. You all have gifts. Gifts personalized to you. And the verse I've listed is 1 Corinthians 7:7, which says, "Yet I wish that all men were like me," Paul talking, "however, each man has his own gift from God, one of this kind and that of another kind." We all have unique talents, things that we can do. And what we should do is strive to use those talents for purpose, the purpose of God to carry out his mission that he's called us to do. So you know your strengths, you know your talents. I like to think one of my talents is talking to you right now, so I'm using that. If you like to write, I'm sure the Barkers would like you to write something for the little pamphlet that we have each Sunday. If you sing, sing praises to God. You can always find something to do to God. It says, everything you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. So we have our unique gifts to put to use. So that is up to 11. And the last one is going to be a Savior. So Matthew 1:21, this is Gabriel talking. "She shall give birth to a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who shall save his people from their sins." This is the ultimate gift from God, which encompasses his love for all people. So this is where God's love and his mercy and his hope and his forgiveness and his peace, all the other gifts intercede right here through Jesus. It's Jesus is God's gift to the world. It's 1 John 4:9-10. It says, "By this, God's love was revealed in us, that God has sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So God's love is not revealed only to us, but also in us. Here is God's gift of love, resulting in God sending his one and only Son, Jesus, to come down that we might live through him. There's the gift of purpose. We have the gift of love, sending his Son. We will live through him, new life and purpose. And Jesus is our atoning sacrifice, bringing with that the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of mercy, the gift of hope. So it's through the gift of Jesus, in addition to all the other gifts that I have listed up here, we have the gift of salvation, and with that, eternal life. Now, we go to Romans 6:23, tells us that, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's only through Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection and no other that we can have this gift." Now, to summarize all of this, is a verse of thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Now thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift," which brings me to my box. We've all been given the gift of salvation and eternal life. So you all have a box. Everyone has been given the gift. God has done his part. Now we've got to do our part. That is to unwrap the gift and open it up. Now, some people do that early in life. Some people wait, but finally they open it up. But the sad part is some people don't ever get around to unwrapping it and opening up the box. So how can we unwrap this gift, open it up, and make it ours? Make sure I got the front. So you hear, and then you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that he is who he said he was. You repent of your sins. Turn away to your old life. Be ready to rise in newness and walk in newness of life and become a new creation. Jesus said, if we confess him before men, he would confess us before his Father in heaven. to confess that Jesus is who he said he was and can do what he said he was going to do. And finally, be baptized. Go in the watery grave. Become that new creation. Become that new man. Have your sins washed away and be forgiven. And finally, after you unwrap it, we can open up the box. And salvation and eternal life is yours. It's yours for the taking. You just got to open up the box. It's a free gift for everyone else. So if you have not opened up your gift, I implore you, open up your gift. Because you don't know when life is going to end and you won't get a chance. So if that's what your desire is to do today, I invite you now to come and while we stand and while we sing.